Good morning to everyone here in the sanctuary, to those who are worshiping with us online, and those listening on KTCU. Hope everyone is having a wonderful Sunday. This morning, our scripture reading comes from Philippians. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, which was a Roman colony in what is now Greece. Most of the folks who lived there were Italian or Greeks, and there wasn't a big Jewish population there. There's no mention of a synagogue in that area. So these Christian converts that Paul was writing to were primarily Gentile people, and Paul was writing this letter while he was in prison for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unlike some of the letters of Paul, it seems like Paul had a pretty good relationship with this church. Apparently, they had provided supplies and things for him while he was in prison, and so part of this letter is a thank you note, but he also writes to reassure them about his situation, to ease their joys and their concerns, or their worries and concerns about him. He even calls them his joy and his crown, and says that he hopes on Judgment Day that he will be able to boast about them. As I mentioned, Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter, so it's kind of strange that the overall theme of this letter is one of joy. Paul has this deep-held belief that his faith in Jesus allows him to overcome any obstacles or any adversities that he may face. And that gives him cause to rejoice, no matter where he is and no matter what is happening to him. Paul was an apostle, but he was not a disciple of Jesus while Jesus was having his earthly ministry. As a matter of fact, after Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven, Paul became a persecutor of Christians, actively trying to destroy this or a group of folks who were following in the way of Jesus. And one day on the Damascus Road, he was on a mission to destroy Christians. He saw a blinding light and heard the very voice of Jesus calling him to a new way of life, calling him to follow in the way of Christ. And so because Jesus was not a disciple, Paul was not a disciple of Jesus during his earthly ministry, it's very likely that he did not hear the parables of Jesus or see Jesus heal anybody or listen to the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. And the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, hadn't been written yet when Paul was converted and began his mission. And so either Paul had heard some oral stories, oral traditions about Jesus, or the Holy Spirit had infused him with the teachings of Jesus, because the teachings of Jesus are very evident in the writings of Paul. So as we prepare to hear today's lesson, I want you to listen with your heart, but also through the lens of these words from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said these words, "Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. Stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Mike, let's hear today's scripture reading.
Our scripture today, as Shannon mentioned, is in the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 4-9. Here begins the reading. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
God. Will you pray with me? God, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you this day. Amen. Let's talk for a minute about fear. Fear is a human emotion. It's a response whenever we are facing danger. We need it to survive. Our body and our minds respond when we feel like our lives are in danger or our safety is in danger. Stress hormones are produced. Our heart rate goes up, our blood pressure goes up, our breathing gets faster. I read on one hospital website that even our blood flow changes, that our blood flows away from the heart and into our limbs so that we can throw a punch or run for our lives. We need fear. It keeps us safe. Now, anxiety, on the other hand, is fear, but it's a fear of a threat of something that could happen sometime in the future, but it's not happening now. It's like pre-fear or persistent fear. And because it's connected to fear, anxiety causes our bodies to respond in very much the same way as it does to fear. So you can imagine with all of these things going on in our bodies, anxiety can make it hard to relax or sleep. Sometimes it's hard to eat or to focus. And sometimes it can be debilitating that people are so afraid and anxious about things they don't even want to leave home because they want to keep themselves safe from these things that could happen to them. Not sure what your association with anxiety is. Certainly a friend of mine. Friend is probably the wrong word, but we've been companions for a long time. I think one of my earliest anxieties, and some of you know this already, was about missing the rapture. It was something that the church where I grew up and the community where I grew up just sort of obsessed with it. This event where Jesus will take away all of the righteous people and leave all the other people to endure a time of tribulation before the end of the world. And I was really torn about this because I didn't want to be taken up. But I also didn't want to endure 7 years of tribulation. And so there was the stress pulling on me both ways. Anxiety was born. And so I would develop ways to try to deal with it. One of my triggers, if you will, was a special news bulletin that interrupted a TV program, because I knew that just meant the end of the world had, you know, the World War III had started. So I would just run to my room and read my Bible and pray. And also, if I made any mistake, I felt like I had sinned, and I would pray because I just knew I had missed my chance at going to heaven. But probably the most notable habit I developed was sneaking into my parents' bedroom in the middle of the night to make sure my mom was still lying in the bed. Dad, I wasn't too sure about. But I knew Mama won't go miss the rapture. One time she was in the bathroom. That was bad. This anxiety presented itself in different ways over the years. I won't go into all that. But I bet many of you have experienced anxiety or you know somebody who lives with anxiety. And so because of my own experience with anxiety, scriptures like today's can honestly annoy me. When Jesus says, think about God's kingdom and don't worry about tomorrow. Or Paul says, don't worry about anything, just pray. I want to say, great guys, thanks, that fixed it. Do they have any idea of the things that we have to worry about? The climate, countries at war, the economy, healthcare, poverty, injustice, crime, politics, that nagging feeling that your water heater is going to bust at any minute. Maybe that's just me. So is it really as simple as don't worry? Well, yes and no. There is a beautiful simplicity to what Paul has to say in this passage, but like most things that are simple, that doesn't mean they're easy, because we're not looking for a short-term fix. We're not looking for superficial fun or short-term happiness. What Paul is describing in this passage is a way of being, a way of life, a way of life that is anchored firm in God no matter what happens. And that takes some doing. It takes time and dedication and patience and probably frustration, certainly practice. And we live in an anxious time that can seem overwhelming. So these words that Paul gave to the Philippians, we can also use. These words of his echo the teachings of Jesus, and they offer practical help for living a fulfilling life, even when it feels like the world is falling apart around you. First of all, Paul says to rejoice. But that rejoicing is in the Lord. We cannot sit back and expect joy to arrive on its own. We have to develop practices that help us strengthen our relationship with God. So we rejoice in the Lord. And then Paul says, be gentle. Be gentle with one another, because everybody faces challenges. Even that person that you think has it made faces challenges. We're all at the mercy of nonstop news and these stories of horrible things happening all over the world. Nobody seems to be at their best right now. And so Paul reminds us to be gentle with one another. And then he says, the Lord is near. Think about that. The Lord is near. We are surrounded by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus. And as his followers, we have chosen to be members of a family that is sustained by compassion that is greater and deeper and larger than any of us can imagine. So rejoice, be gentle, remember the Lord is near. And then the big one, pray, don't worry. Now, Paul is not telling us to ignore our responsibilities, to pretend like our troubles don't exist. But he's also reminding us that obsessing about them won't make them go away either. Instead, he says we should share everything with God, every problem, every worry, and all of our gratitude. Not only our worries and our problems, but also our gratitude. Wrap those up together, share them with God, and then listen for how God might respond. It's a conversation, not a one-way street. And this kind of conversation with God gives us peace. It gives us God's peace. Peace beyond what we can understand. And finally, he says to look for the good in the world and emulate it. We should turn our attention away from the things that cause us anxiety and cause us stress and overwhelm us. Don't pretend they don't exist, but don't live in them. Instead, turn our attention to things that are worthy of our respect, to the places where goodness is at work, and goodness is at work in the world. Where do we see people who are acting with honor and with justice and with purity? Where are the places where people are doing things that are commendable and worthy of praise? These things are from God. And Paul says, think on these things. One translation says, tally these things up. Write them down. Make a list of the people, the places, the organizations that are doing good in the world, and include them in our prayers of thanksgiving that we have collected with our worries and our fears and share them with God. Tally them up. It's especially helpful when we're feeling overwhelmed by negativity. And then Paul told the Philippians to follow his example, and all of us have mature people of faith who can help us along the path and this way of learning to rejoice in the Lord. Now, I bet if we were able to measure happiness in churches, not happiness, joyfulness, if there was a joyfulness measure, I'm not sure how well most churches would score, because a lot of Christians seem kind of sour to me. Too focused on sin or lack of perfection, instead of celebrating that we are forgiven. Too sentimental about the past, instead of being excited about our future. Too frustrated by feeling weak, instead of claiming the strength of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit that lives inside of us and works inside of us. Now, this section is not titled Paul's Five Steps for an Easy Life, because there's no quick fix. It's like our physical health. You cannot eat fast food every day and not exercise and then pray to look good and feel good. I've tried that plan, and it don't work. The same way you cannot say one prayer and all your problems are gone. Because it's not a magic spell. But you can pray every day. Make it a part of your life. And eventually learn how to refocus your attention and find real, deep, lasting joy, knowing that we are connected inseparably to God. Now, I do want to take just a moment here and mention that some of us need a little more help than Paul mentions in this passage. Sometimes anxiety is such that we need medicine in order to help us function. I'm not talking about self-medication with alcohol or illegal drugs. I'm talking about doctor-prescribed, monitored meds that can help ease anxiety. I call mine my nerve pills, and I take them every day. Because I tell you that because I don't want anybody leaving here today thinking that you are weak or lacking in faith if you need an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety medication. Just want to be very clear about that. It's a tool that I use to help me have the focus and have the energy to pray and to work on my faith practices and my spiritual disciplines. When our lives are grounded in prayer, we can live joyfully. Not always fun life, not always easy life, not even always a happy life, but we can live joyfully. When we're grounded in deep prayer, not the panic-fueled prayer that I mentioned, like my childhood prayer that was steeped in fear, but if we live grounded in this deep conversation with God, time spent talking to God, time spent listening to God, or just sitting quietly in God's presence, then we know that when things go wrong, and they will, that we already know how to pray. We're not scrambling to try to figure out how to do it. And when we live our lives grounded in this deep prayer, then we don't have to worry about the thing that might happen sometime in the future but isn't happening now, because we know that ultimately everything's going to be okay. Paul was writing from prison, but he was not afraid of death. because he knew ultimately his life in God, his faith in Jesus, meant that everything would be okay. Jesus is a Savior who transforms us just like he transformed the Apostle Paul on that Damascus road. And when we walk in his way, he will carry our burdens. Jesus promises that. Christ meets us at the place of our worry. He teaches us how to be gentle with one another, and he opens us to the peace of God, the very presence of God that is in our midst every second of every single day. And this peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, will guard us and give us quiet minds and hopeful hearts. Amen.